Heavenly Father, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. Lord, how blessed we are for this sanctified hour of prayer that you are using to separate us wholly to yourself. Lord, we just ask that you would close the door on the world to us now as we come under the shelter of your power and mighty name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. To silence every burdened heart and every distracting noise. Lord Jesus, we want to hear our shepherd's voice, speaking words of love and ministering to our hearts and instructing us in this time of repentance so that we can find healing and strength in our weakened and powerless state, Lord Jesus. Remove anything that hinders our closest communion with you, Lord. We want our lives to bring glory and honor to your name. And we ask this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, good afternoon, warriors. It's a joy to see you here this afternoon. And everyone joining us online at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, across the nation there on the West Coast, and everyone in between who's listening in, thank you for just uniting your hearts with ours as we blanket this nation in prayer. This noon hour is an opportunity for us to lay our hearts bare before the Lord and let him examine them and show us those things in our life that's polluting and poisoning the flow of his blessings and his mercy flowing to the earth, and helping us as a good, loving father to address those issues that are keeping us weak and hindering our progress in the spiritual life and hindering his advancement of the kingdom in the world. This morning we were talking about this scripture from Malachi 3, speaking about the coming messenger, that a messenger of the covenant that is promised. And we read here in Malachi chapter 3 that messenger of the covenant is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of it. Jesus is that mighty messenger who fulfilled the full prophecy that's spoken of here and sealed it with his blood. I'm going to read the first few verses again for us this afternoon. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. We see here in these couple of verses of Malachi 3, God's purifying process. The Lord will sift his people, and he will prepare them for his reign, because as it says here, he is coming. We know from this prophecy of Malachi that he's speaking both of his first coming and his second coming. The first, we know he came in grace, saved us from our sins, but he's going to come again in triumph and over all his enemies and set up his kingdom in this earth. We read this in Haggai. This is Haggai 2, verses 6 through 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. our great messenger of the coming of the covenant. He's coming to purge and to refine his people. His awesome work is to refine and to cleanse. It is not to destroy. That is not his intent. He's going to sit, as it says here in Malachi, as a refiner of fire and a purifier, a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he's going to purify the sons of Levi, his priesthood. That's who he wants to purify. He will burn off all the filth and dross so that when he looks at his people, he sees the pure reflection of his own face, the beauties of holiness. As when a metal worker, when he has finished purifying the silver pot, he sees his image clearly when he looks into it. And that shows him that the process is complete. We read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The one who gives his angels charge over us in times of danger, he himself, the messenger of the covenant, he's going to keep charge of his own purifying process. He's not going to entrust that to anyone else's hands. So we can trust that the work that he is doing as a purifier and refiner in our lives, it's his hands upon us. And it's his purpose he'll complete. He sits as a refiner. He's in that seated position because that process takes time and attention and watchful care. He will not let us out of his hands until that work is done. We can trust him in that. Philippians 1:6 says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we don't need to fear those fiery seasons when we feel like everything's coming against us and we feel completely squeezed in and pressured. He's putting our feet to the fire in order that he can make us a more suitable vessel to offer acceptable service in his name. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And once his refining work is done, once he's completed it, it's finished, and there'll be no need for it again. There's no such thing as this idea of purgatorial fire. He does the work here and now. The messenger of the covenant purposes to cleanse society and to change the hearts of men. So when our King returns in glory to rule the earth, all evil is going to be quickly punished. The messenger of the new covenant of grace, he delivered the covenant by his death on the cross. And when he returns, he's going to establish it, an eternal righteousness and peace upon this earth in his new kingdom. Today, he says in his word, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so this afternoon, as we go before him in the spirit of repentance, may we lay our hearts bare to that mighty sword, the word of God, and allow him to do that cutting, dividing, purifying, refining work in our life through his word. We need to understand that if we're truly seeking the Lord, that we are seeking a fire that's going to test us. And it's going to consume all that is dear to us. Because he wants to purge us and save us from our sins. He's going to save us from our sins. So we need to submit to the hands of the one who purifies and let him do that necessary laundering, that cleaning work, that purging fiery work in us, so that he can prepare our hearts. If we go to the next chapter in Malachi, Malachi 4, we read, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing on his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So let's go before the Lord and lay our hearts bare before him. His promises are true. Every word is yes and amen. We can trust that he's coming. Yes, he is. And we need to prepare our hearts. He's giving us that time now. It's a beautiful thing when God allows us to be proactive in our walk with him and not be on that offensive side. We have an opportunity to lay our hearts before him today. You are welcome to come up here to the altar and lay your heart bare before the Lord, kneel before him and pray here in the microphone, or in the microphone in the center. I encourage you to do that. And everyone who's listening online, just in the stillness and the quiet moments, allow the Lord to search your heart. And let's be honest, when the Spirit touches those places that are really sensitive to us that we don't want to let go, he wants to heal us and make us whole. He wants to make us a whole body, strong and mighty and holy to the Lord. Let's go before him and pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, you've given us your word and the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, to do, Lord, this sanctifying work in our lives through your truth. Lord, you've set us apart from this world and to yourself. You separate us out. We're your royal priesthood. And you would have your priesthood be pure and holy to the Lord. Help us not to succumb to this evil and corrupt influences that are all around us, Lord, but instead to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can become more like you, Lord Jesus. Pure, holy, righteous. Holy Spirit, we are before you asking you to take that launderer's soap, clean the filth out of our hearts and lives. And our refiner, Lord, that you would put our feet to the fire and purge us of all that dross. Lord, that is not allowing us to present, Lord, you in the beauty that you are to the world. We are diminishing, Lord, the portrait of you we're presenting to the world because of our filth, our sin, our flesh, our selfishness. Lord, we need to be purged of every fleshly defilement. Lord, of every sinful thought and all those carnal desires, Lord, if we're going to be useful to you. So we submit to you now, Lord, and just ask that you would do that fiery cleansing work. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. O Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. So, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. O Lord, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you, Lord. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. O Lord, we cannot be used for you greatly until you break us completely. Empty us of everything that is of self and sin and the world and the flesh. We want to be holy unto you, Lord. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Thank you, Lord, that we have a future with you in which we will enjoy the beauty of your creation without the brokenness. But while we are here surrounded by both beauty and brokenness, help us to keep your light and love to those around us. We're not promised tomorrow. Help us to make today count. Help us keep our eyes on you alone. Forgive our unfaithfulness. Help us every day that you've given us to become more like you. In Jesus' name I pray.
When you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing.
Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being our daddy and loving us, Lord. And Lord, as I read through your word, Lord, it just seems like it's written for me, Lord, almost as the chief sinner, Lord. Lord, as there's so much that I do wrong so often, Lord, and I just ask for your forgiveness, Lord. I ask for the mind of Christ, Lord, and your heart, Lord. And Lord, I know one of the things is just almost like narcissism, Lord, just so focused on myself, Lord, on my flesh, Lord, and I just ask for your forgiveness there, Lord, that you would just let the blood of Jesus wash over me. There's so many in our church, especially men, Lord, that have that issue, Lord, and Lord, that I really don't think I have that issue, which is part of why I do have the issue, Lord. And Lord, I just ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and thank you that we do have victory in Jesus, Lord. And I just ask that me, starting with me and your body, Lord, that we would just entirely be focused on you and not what we want, what our flesh is calling out to us, what we're being tempted with, what we see, Lord. Just, Lord, our world is so full of deception and just ugliness that seems pleasurable, seems nice, seems like it's worth a try, Lord, and it's just utterly a path to destruction in so many ways, Lord. And I just ask for your forgiveness for ever taking my eyes off of you, Lord, and losing focus, Lord. And Lord, just help me to die to this flesh, to die to myself, Lord, daily, and to put on Christ, Lord. And I do thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord, but help me not rely on so much, Lord, your forgiveness, Lord, but be focused on your holiness, Lord, and the Holy Spirit in me that says to not do this, Lord, but I do it anyway, and to listen to your voice, Lord, to make the right choices in all I do. And thank you for the victory I have, we have, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, your word says that nothing in secret will not be made manifest, nor anything hid that will not be known and come abroad. Lord, I thank you for that, not only globally, but within our nation, that there's no secrets that will not be made manifest. You know every secret. But I draw that into me personally, that no secrets that I can hide from you, Lord. There's no secrets that we can hide from you. We are an open book to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving me in spite of me. Thank you for the covering of Jesus' blood on us all. Lord, lead us in our purposes. Holy Spirit, press upon us minute by minute what you would have for us individually, collectively as a body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for trusting us with intercession, for pressing upon us to pray for one another. Cover us, Lord, in the shadow of your wing, and do not depart from us. this America. In the name of Jesus.
For it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that you should not take advantage of and defraud your brother, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. But because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them all on those who hate you. And Romans 11, starting verse 13. Let's see. No, that's not the right part. Verse 16. Now if the challah offered at first fruits is holy, so is the whole loaf. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and have become equal sharers in the rich root of the olive tree, then don't boast as if you were better than the branches. However, if you do boast, remember that you are not supporting the root. The root is supporting you. So you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. True. But so what? They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he certainly won't spare you. So take a good look at God's kindness and his severity. On the one hand, severity toward those who fell off, but on the other hand, God's kindness toward you. Provided you maintain yourself in that kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. Moreover, the others, if they do not persist in their lack of trust, will be grafted in, because God is able to graft them back in. For if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? So, Father, my heart for reading these scriptures is to repent for myself, my bloodline, and the body of Messiah for anti-Semitism in the church. For we read about a curse that comes against those who curse your chosen people. And many times in the church, it has been said that we have replaced them. And a curse has come over us, and even a curse of sickness and disease. But I want to repent today on behalf of your church, Father. I repent for our sins, and I renounce them of any contempt toward Israel, any way we've cursed them or persecuted them or hated them or treated them unfairly. Any time we've been jealous of them or did not stand with them or bless them.
I repent for these sins where the church has tried to replace Israel instead of accepting that we were grafted in through the blood of Messiah Jesus. And I repent for the rejection of your Torah and your word and your teachings and your holy way of living. I repent for all of these things, Father. And I ask you to forgive these sins and cleanse me at my bloodline and your church, your body. And I choose today to support and pray for your people, Israel. I pray for their peace, protection, and abundance in your holy land. I pray that they will find their Messiah. And I petition that you would lift the curse from any hatred or anti-Semitism off of your body and your church because of these sins, and restore us to our right relationship with you, and restore us to the blessing of Abraham in our health and anything that's been affected in this way. Please let the blood of Jesus cleanse us. For your word says, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So wonderful messenger of the covenant of grace, we give you glory. Lord, we have fallen short of your glory, but you have given us hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for providing the way and coming as a messenger to show us the way to salvation. and eternal life.
First Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God.
Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away from evil the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have been not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And yes, Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing blood, for your refiner's fire, and for your launderer's soap. We can go out now, Lord, rejoicing, leaping as calves from the stall. We praise your holy and mighty name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Thank you, Lord. I pray you felt that just the cleansing waters that he's just pouring over us in this season. May he just fill your heart with his joy today. I want to remind you that we do not have the prayer service at 6:00 this evening, but there is a church service. And we will have no prayer services tomorrow as well. Be blessed in all the worship services going on across the nation. Just go out in the joy of the Lord. I look forward to seeing you again on Monday at 9 a.m. Be blessed in Jesus' name.